region is as flammable as the next. The risk of wildfire is higher in some places than in others, of course, and when the state of Oregon said so with the release of a wildfire risk map in 2022, landowners in high-risk areas complained loudly. So the state withdrew the map until just recently, offering in its place a new wildfire hazard map. Now, the state is taking public input on the new map until August 18th, and that could potentially lead to changes in that map, so my guests are going to help us sort it out. I'm joined by Tim Holschback, Deputy Chief of Policy and Planning Protection in the Fire Division of the Oregon Department of Forestry, and Blair Moody of the Medford Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the JX, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Tim, let's start with a little background on this issue. What is the wildfire hazard map, and why do we need one?
So the wildfire hazard map came out of the governor's policy committee under Governor Brown, who was trying to evaluate ways that the state can be more proactive in wildfire mitigation and protect communities. And this was one of the recommendations from that group, was to have a map available to identify these areas and as such also direct state resources so that our legislators can make decisions on where priorities are on a statewide level, but also identify communities that could also where protective measures such as home hardening or defensible space, where they have been determined to prevent the loss of homes and structures, where those should be implemented as well. So it's an identification tool to help people more proactive to create fire hardened communities.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but now there's a new map coming out. What's the difference between the old map and the new map?
So the new map has a few things that came in, and a lot of it is what we heard from the public from the rollout of the one in 2022, and a lot of that was rolled into Senate Bill 80 that was passed during the 2023 session. So one of the key things is the legislature added a purpose statement to the map, so clearly identifying what it's to be used for. The map is to be built on four criteria that are taken into consideration. So there's weather, climate, topography, and vegetation. It went from five risk zones to three hazard zones. So it got rid of the extreme and the low, or the extreme and the no risk on there. And the reason it's a hazard map and they changed the name is because it's to identify the environmental hazard that our communities are built in. And that's one of the primary goals with it. And it also did some adjustments to the appeals process into something formalized that the legislature designed.
So, Tim, did the process of creating these maps, either the original or the current one, did it tell us anything we didn't know about the areas where fire hazards are higher?
No. It codified some of the maps that we've been producing since 2007. We've been utilizing these criteria and this methodology for a few decades for identifying areas as the state applies for federal grant monies to invest in Oregon. And this is codifying it in state law so that the state legislature can utilize the same tool and officially recognize it as this is what the state tool for the state of Oregon is. But largely the same criteria to build it have been utilized. And it's not just in Oregon, but utilized in other states for quite some time now.
Okay. Well, the state is asking for public input until August 18th. And I understand there will also be Zoom meetings on July 31st at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And then another Zoom on August 1st at 6 p.m. Blair, what are your thoughts about this new map?
Well, I'm the chair of the Medford Chamber Natural Resource Action Team. And our mission is to identify potential concerns regarding natural resource issues that impact businesses and recommend action that will lead to positive outcomes for businesses that may be impacted. And Tim, with all due respect to you and your colleagues, the Medford Chamber members have some concerns. Like this is the next iteration of the map, and with a few minor adjustments, it pretty much looks the same. And there still are inconsistent risk designations, such as irrigated croplands in the high-risk zones. There is concern about government regulations mandating defensible space and home hardening on private property. there's concern about potential restrictions on building codes and new construction in the higher extreme wildfire areas. And then there's the ever-prevalent concern about insurance companies canceling or increasing rates in these high-risk areas, even though Senate Bill 82 banned insurance companies from doing so.
Well, Tim, have you heard these same concerns from many other corners of Oregon?
Yeah, as a whole, Oregonians are voicing the same concerns. The insurance market is responding primarily to catastrophic losses we had in 2020. Oh, and over the last 5 years, actually, Oregon's experienced more loss across all disasters than it has in the last 30 years combined. So insurance markets are responding to that. As far as the other codes, those two comprehensive bills, was this, the legislature taking action to protect communities? And there are some aspects to this to implement those. The defensible space codes and the building codes. We had some great meetings out in communities throughout the month of June, and we visited across multiple agencies, had town halls in these communities, and we covered areas that had about 90% of the folks that were in that regulatory area. But we're also hearing the same concerns from folks who are outside of the counties that would have that regulatory side, where they're facing the same questions about insurance and such. So the Department of Consumer Business and Services and Department of Financial Regulation, State Farm Marshal's Office, and the Building Codes Division, along with ODF and OSU, are trying to get as much information out as possible for these as Oregonians are responding to these actions.
Well, I'm talking with Tim Holschback of the Oregon Department of Forestry and Blair Moody of the Medford Chamber of Commerce. We're discussing the proposed new wildfire hazard map and the challenges that some folks are having with it. Public input on the map and the rules are being solicited by the state until August 18th. Tim, can you tell the public how they can participate during the comment window?
Yes, there's two concurrent comment processes going on right now. There's one for the administrative rules. So the department has been updating the administrative rules that govern the map's creation with the passage of Senate Bill 80. And also we convened a committee to how to address or how to consider irrigated agriculture within the map as well. So that isn't also in addition to the rules. Those rule hearings are the ones that you mentioned for next week, and they are at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on the 31st, and also August 1st at 6 p.m. So those are intended for the rules itself. Any interested person can go on the department's website and find them as well under our proposed rule page, and then submit public comment under send an email to maprules@odf.oregon.gov. Additionally, for the comments on the map product itself, there is a draft version of the hazard map posted on the Oregon Explorer. And you can go and see your address and what your current draft rating will be. And then any comments for that product as well can be sent to hazardmap@odf.oregon.gov.
That's good information. We'll put it at jeffexchange.org just so that our listeners can go to one place, jeffexchange.org, and we'll have all that information. So, Blair, what would the Medford Chamber ideally like to see?
Well, that we haven't really discussed in detail at this point in time. I would say that, you know, we do want folks to take legitimate action, to prevent fires from them burning their homes and stuff. But we also need to see our public forests managed a whole lot better than what they're being managed now.
And what do you mean by that? How are they being managed that you would correct?
Well, we're really not managing our forests. We've allowed so much undergrowth to come up over the years that we have so many stems per acre on the forest that this leads to catastrophic events like the fires we're seeing.
Well, that's separate from the map, isn't it?
Well, that's true. But what I'm saying is the fires know no property boundary lines. And so if fires started on federal land or other public land, it comes onto your property, you can't do anything about it.
Well, that's a good point. But when we're talking about identifying hazardous areas, what is the ideal map in your estimation?
At this point, I don't think I can comment on that. It's a huge process. Tim and his colleagues spent a lot of time trying to get it to this point. And certainly the RUI lands, the real true RUI lands are, but there's a lot of land that's included in this that really isn't.
So, Tim, how would you respond? You have the Medford Chamber expressing concerns, and you have other concerns being expressed around the state. How is that factoring into the development of this new map?
That's a great question. Thank you for that one. The map itself, this is identifying wildfire hazard across the entire state. That was the charge that was given to the department and to OSU. And largely it does that. If you look at it, it covers state, federal, private lands in there. And working with our federal partners, it helps them prioritize and get the money they need from Congress to help increase their pace and scale resiliency. You'll see that through the Inflation Reduction Act and through the bilateral, the bill's escaping me, but there was two bills at the federal level that directed resources to states that had these products available. And there was three landscapes in particular in Oregon that were identified on the Deschutes, on the Mount Hood, and in the Rogue Basin as crisis projects or wildfire crisis projects. And working with our federal partners, these are areas where the Department of Forestry, where we have our seasonal staff, we can work with our federal partners who get some influx of these federal dollars to increase the scale of mitigation. And they also work with forest collaboratives and their communities to help prioritize areas around the wildland-urban interface in particular. So the focus is around protecting our communities from the fires coming off of those public lands. The department has a workforce that we can retain throughout the off-season, so we can retain our seasonal firefighters with this type of work. And our federal partners can help protect our communities. But it's not something that's going to be solved overnight either. It took us decades to get in this issue. It's going to take us time to get out, but we have to start somewhere. And that's what the map helps us identify. And it creates conversations around where our wildland-urban interface that's now identified by this product, we can engage with our federal partners saying, hey, this community is here. They're doing their part. What can we do to help you do yours as well? And how can we prioritize their actions to help protect people in their homes?
Well, there are concerns by landowners in high-hazard areas. Now, the map was withdrawn last time. Assuming it's published and official this time, what requirements are going to be on landowners in high-hazard areas?
So there's two landowner or property owner requirements that came out of this is home hardening and defensible space. Now, many of our communities Oregon is the second highest state in the country with firewise communities, and we've had defensible space laws in Oregon since 1996. So there's that portion of it's not new. A lot of folks clean up the yard. The new actions are not clear cut around your property. They're just most folks who take care of the yard have met the defensible space requirements. So I want to caveat that one is it's required, but most folks are already doing it. The home hardening portion is for the new built environment. If you are building homes, use fire resistant materials. It's not the defensible space codes are not retroactive. If you're doing a major remodel, like you're redoing your siding on your house or you're redoing your roof, then you may have to use the fire resistant materials, and with them being more available because this practice is more common than it was 10 years ago,
okay,
the cost between those materials and the previous and the cheapest version are within less than 10% difference.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Tim Holzbach of the Oregon Department of Forestry and Blair Moody of the Medford Chamber of Commerce. Unfortunately, that's all we have for today's JX segments. I'm Mike Green. Thanks for joining us.